Okay, it's going with a slight delay here, I think, the technology. Good morning to all of you, and Christy already provided you with an update of what we have been doing in the last couple of months. Now my time is to turn a little bit to the future. So the aim of my presentation, and if you could go to the next slide, Radek, the aim of my presentation is really twofold. First, I want to talk to you. First, I want to talk to you a little bit about the activities we are planning in the near future, so in the next 6 months, and activities we are planning a little bit further. At the moment, we haven't started yet. And the aim is not only to inform you of our activities, but also it's very much to ask you views on our activities. Are there particular things we have overlooked? Are there particular things we can do better? The second purpose of the presentation is to start thinking a little bit about technology. Like Michal already alluded to the fact that there are different new trends in the market, and I want to kickstart a little bit some idea sharing on what technology and what is the role of technology. So I'll focus now first on the first part of this presentation, which is the roadmap for the next 6 months. I'll wait a little until. So what is our focus for the next 6 months? So where do we think our priorities should lie? First of all, is the IFRS taxonomy due process. So the completion of the trial, the discussion with the board, the discussion with the trustees, and then we'll put out the due process still out for public consultation, because we have only focused on particular aspects of the due process. For instance, we have talked very little bit about the due process followed for architectural changes to the taxonomy. So we really want to put out a whole package, a whole proposal on the due process for the trustees to approve and for it to be going out to public consultation, which we hope will happen towards early quarter three of this year. The second thing, and I've heard many times here already being mentioned, extensions. So Bill Lai mentioned two extensions, like other people have talked about extensions. So extensions definitely a hot topic. So we discussed at the October meeting, we discussed a little bit the business requirements. Today, we continue to follow up on the management of entity-specific disclosures, and Andy will discuss that topic later on in the day. So what I want to focus on today is on 2 points for our activities for the next 6 months. The first thing is the IFRS common practice content. What activities should we undertake for the next 6 months? And the second thing is about supporting regulators. So if you can move to the, we'll wait a little bit again until the next slide comes up. Okay. So we discussed common practice with you in the last two meetings and calls. Yeah, so you have what you have told us that you consider that consider common practice to be very important. You have told us at the last call that, in fact, when you look at the general scope of common practice, that the best is to follow a combined approach. And by a combined approach at that time said, look, let's try to do some common practice for activities, and also let's try to do a common practice together with a post-implementation review. Now, the agendas for the post-implementation reviews are still under discussion, so I'm not discussing that at this time. So the focus today is really on which activities. But before I go there, I really want to say again, this is still a potential common practice project. So we're still really at research, because in the end, under our new due process, we will discuss any proposals with this board review panel. And we have already heard some comments of some members of the board review panel to say, look, we have to tread very carefully with common practice, because continue to add more and more items to our taxonomy is probably not going to be very useful in the end. So we need to look, probably self-reflect a little bit on the kind of processes we do when we analyze common practice. And we have to link that a little bit as well to the strategy and the thinking we do on entity management, management of entity-specific disclosures. So that's a little bit, I just want to express this. Now, because I really want to focus today on the discussion. So in the appendix, you will you can see how we fought and the processes we followed to identify a potential activities for a 2015 Common Practice Project. It's similar to what we have done in the past. We really look at an empirical analysis of companies. We select companies based on size, in terms of revenue, in terms of number of companies. We look at invested interest, trying to proxy that by looking at the market value of the companies and if the company is a constituent of an index. Once we have that identified particular top companies, we then put more qualitative considerations like, for instance, are there new IFRSs, or we're going to impact very much disclosures within this particular activity, then we prefer to wait. And also we really want to do common practice that in the end is useful. So we're trying to understand a little bit, okay, what is the user interest? So we get feedback like ASIC has told us in the past of agriculture maybe of interest. We're looking at templates that data aggregators have. We're looking also what the US GAAP taxonomy has to see, okay, have they and identify some activity specific practice. And based on all our empirical analysis, which is in the appendix, we really thought, okay, the best thing is to really focus our energy for 2015 and 2016 on agriculture and on the hotels, leisure and entertainment industry. So that is what we decided for common practice, and in a minute I'll ask you a question about it, but let me first also go talk about the second focus area for the next 6 months. And this is what we have called supporting regulators. And some of you may think, okay, why do we really focus on supporting regulators? Because in the end, the IFRS taxonomy and digital reporting is really to facilitate effective communication between investors and preparers. So really our focus should be on the investors and should be on the preparers. Now, we have done quite a few activities in the past. Like we had a detailed task force where we asked preparers to tag their own financial statements and then share their experiences with us. We have tried to engage with users, for instance, at the last October of CIMAC, which is our investor consultative group. We brought the issue of digital reporting at the IS7 to their for their consideration. However, we realize as well that until a user can really try out and trust data, their interest is going to be quite limited. And also really the taxonomy remains something abstract. Like Vince at the CIMAC meeting, they said, okay, we are very interested in electronic reporting, but don't ask us to comment on the taxonomy because that is so abstract. And for a preparer, typical a preparer really only will focus their mind once they know there is a mandate. So we thought the strategy for our outreach really should be on the support of regulators in the next, at least in the next 6 to 12 months, to ensure that we have everything in place to support regulators effectively when they implement an electronic reporting system. Now in the next slide, we highlight some of the activities we undertake. And you know probably already that we have engaged and we have undertaken quite a few activities. The ones in blue are the ones we have been doing already. So we give like documentation, we ask regulators to participate on our common practice analysis. Many of the regulators are members or observers of the ITCG. We also have focused a lot on an adaptable IFRS taxonomy, and an adaptable IFRS taxonomy is try to put such features in the structure of the IFRS taxonomy that it can meet the flexible business requirements that regulators may have. That fits a good example is that we modernize the taxonomy so that regulators who do not want to use our management commentary elements do not have to do as such. Yeah. Then we have been working in the last couple of months as well on other areas which we think would be useful for regulators. These are the ones highlighted in greens. We have been looking at our terms and conditions of use. We have been looking at the guidance for regulators, and in October we gave you the regulatory guide. Now we hope to publish that in 1 month's time. And we also know that extensions and how to handle extensions remains an issue, so we also continue to bring up this issue of management of entity-specific disclosures. Now, another thing we are doing is, and we are planning to do in the future, and these are the areas highlighted in pink, is we really just want to see if there's anything we can do to help regulators to regularly update the taxonomy. This is where we have a workshop today, and Andy will lead that session. We're planning to really reach out to regulators in the next couple of months, because it's fair to say that in the last 12 months, our focus has been internal on getting the pieces in place to support effectively regulators. Now it's time to go and tell the regulators what we have done and see if there are particular areas we may still have overlooked. And then, like Christine mentioned already, we also will start to think more about what is the impact and of digital reporting and how can it facilitate effective communication between preparers and users. So that brings me to the first two questions I have. So the first question I want to ask is, do you agree with us continuing common practice, and do you agree with the activities we are proposing? And then the second question is, look, can you see any other things that we should do to effectively support regulators? Not here at the moment discussing in detail what we should do to encourage regulatory updates, but any other, let's say, big area that we are missing out in the previous slides. So, up to you. Any comment? So first on common practice, what are your views on common practice? Should we continue? Do you agree with the activities, or do you think that based on your experience there are other activities which are better to review first? Any comments? Michal?
Just the last from Australia. I think as we mentioned earlier in our update, we support the common practice and industry practice project that you are having at the moment. We see that is a very good initiative to minimize the requirement for extension. So I believe we support that. The one thing that's probably linked to the question about company extension that I think we mentioned earlier is that at the moment the common practice element that you provided in the taxonomy require common extension so that it can be used. I will just take one example. Let's say if we introduce an element that very specific to banking industry, and that can be used in the primary financial statement or in the notes. So at the moment, that's that all, you know, put that into one place in the note disclosure. And when we adopt that, company extension is required if they want to present that element in the primary financial statement. So, but for in a situation like us in Australia, we don't have company extension, so that might somehow limit the usability of that element in the case the company wants to present that in the primary financial statement. So, well, so that is just, you know, one observation that we have. But generally, like I mentioned, we support the common practice project that you're having at the moment.
Okay, thank you very much, Villa. So I think the discussion on extensions and how to handle and where to present it, I think we'll take that discussion in the next session. And Binla, are you, so because I think Australia in the past also mentioned that agriculture was quite important for you. This is still the case, I assume. So you're happy with the activities we selected?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, thank you. Michal?
So I'd like to echo the importance of the best practices. This is also the feedback that I've been receiving from a number of regulators, especially those in Central Eastern Asia right now who are adopting the IFRS taxonomy. The encouraging regular updates of the taxonomy appears to be an extremely challenging concept for many of them to align the adoption of IFRSs, which is in many of these countries reviewed by the respective accounting bodies. So there is a certain timeline during which these particular entities, organizations are reviewing the incoming, the updated IFRSs and IASs. And aligning it with the release of the taxonomies is an extremely important challenge, so I would probably highlight the importance of that component over here. I think that documentation and supporting materials, we already have it in a very good state and quality. Actually, the IFRS taxonomy documentation is by many referred as an example of how the taxonomy should be documented out to the public. And I promised to some of the regulators from Southeast Asia to ask publicly a question whether we are considering to reactivate the IFRS annual convention.
Okay.
I'll leave that in.
No, it's a good thought, and we definitely will consider that within the thing. So I think we already planned activities like the organization of these regional events and workshops where we talk to regulators, but we will think as well about the consideration of what to do with the annual convention.
Mm-hmm. Chi, you were finished, right, Michael?
Yeah. The last time, I think it was a February ICG conference call, there was a selection to the your activity for next 2015 and 2016. One of the selection was the collaboration with regulators.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still in there's another activity in there, for example, the encourage regulatory update or regional IF taxonomy events is still discussed with the regional regulators to working together. Because I thought that the how do you think about that, this part?
Yeah, we're still planning to organize.
But only about the common practice. The more the next activities focus on this agriculture or
So we are still once we have reviewed and agreed with the board panel that we should undertake a common practice project and that also agree with the activities we are proposing, then we will then issue again a call for participation so that regulators can participate if they wish.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I don't know who's next between Lou and Lou.
Hi, a couple of points on the common practice elements. What we have seen is regulators already have an inventory of common practice elements which are created over the last 3-4 years. So it would be, you know, good to take a look at what they've done before we embark on certain sectors as well. Because at times they find, common practice elements coming in the new IFRS taxonomy, an equivalent could already be there in their, taxonomy, which is built from the base IFRS taxonomy. So there could be, situations when there is a bit of a conflict, then they need to choose, and they would typically go with the IFRS common practice element. That is one point. The second point is, as far as the documentation is concerned on the IFRS taxonomies, there is one feedback from one of the regulators we have worked with that could be a little more descriptive than what it is at this point of time.
Thank you. We'll consider and see what we can do there.
So, very much in support of continuing common practice, especially not only from a regulator's point of view, but preparer's point of view, because they don't like to make extensions any more than the regulator likes to accept them. I think it's diminishing returns to scale because you hit the bigger industries early on. So continue to think about going back to the original industries that were done in common practice and thinking about, did we properly nail those? But as far as which sectors, I think there's a good policy already in place for selecting them, so I don't have any opinion if agriculture and hotels are correct or not, but I think the policy works. And then lastly, the downside of CEEP common practice is that you're potentially creating tags that aren't IFRS standards, but reminder that all the tags are labeled as common practice if they were a common practice tag. So that's something the US GAAP taxonomy does not have. In other words, all tags are just tags. And I think I'd be more nervous if I was a board member of the US FASB than ISB, because there is a real nice distinction in the IFRS taxonomy between common practice. So that's all.
Okay. My concern is, when we select these, we're selecting listed companies, correct? To look at. And that I think is a distinction. With the SEC, it's all about listed companies. With IFRS, this stuff is going out in these countries, and they use IFRS for both listed and unlisted companies, and they will make them use XBRL for both. And so you're getting, you tend to get group accounts under the SEC, and that's your concern. So there's a lot of concepts for the standalone accounts. There's a lot of concepts for companies that aren't listed. For example, you'll get a lot of franchisee type labels for these, but for example, McDonald's. McDonald's is the franchisor. Okay, fine, that's the listed company, you're going to get those. But now all their franchisees that happen to have to, you know, file accounts in these countries, you're not picking those things up. So you're never getting down to that. Now, I mean, there is a challenge. You would have to go out and get these accounts, which requires you to find a friendly regulator or pay for them. Mm-hmm. So I tend to see there's a lot of stuff in that area, because people are that are being required to do this, like in Singapore, they're coming up and saying, well, wait a minute, this is all for a big listed company, but all the little things. And I said, well, generally, you wouldn't have all those things. They're like, no, I have unique things because I have standalone accounts for subsidiaries, and this is all working off of a group. So,
and it's a question of priorities.
Yes,
Thomas. Yes. And I think the IFRS taxonomy was mainly used, or is mainly used at the moment, for listed companies. Now, when we do our when we select our companies, we'll make sure that we really once we have select activity, we'll make sure within this activity we'll select both high market value companies and low market value companies, so to have like a balance between smaller and larger companies. Now, so far, we have not undertaken yet the project for the IFRS for SMEs or for unlisted companies, because there were not that many regulators we are aware of that are using the IFRS taxonomy for that purpose. However, this is slowly changing, because, for instance, we know at the moment that Malaysia may be starting to use the IFRS taxonomy for SMEs for reporting. I think it is next year or something like that. So it's definitely, we need to start giving this some thought as well. I think we also, Krishnan raised the issue that many regulators have already extensions as well. So I think it brings back to some of the comments that the board, members of the board review panel raised, is look, we have to start self-reflecting of where we go with common practice and what is the role as well in the ISB of doing it. Because if you have a team of one or two people, they obviously cannot set common practice or review common practice for the whole world. So maybe it's more a role with more participation with industry groups, with regulators or things like that. So I think we definitely need to do some self-reflection on the whole issue of common practice.
Thomas, can I just ask you what examples in the standalone entities that, because I assume it maybe is it derived from IFRS directly, because I thought that IFRS is applicable to standalone entities just as much as consolidated.
Correct. It is applicable, but the concepts tend to be in the taxonomy tend to be, you know, related to consolidated reporting, and from more of a business model of that of being a principal rather than an agent, and one of the strange things that happens in these small entities, small things become big to them. You know, things that, you know, no corporation would ever bother creating granularity around. You know, a multi-billion-dollar company wouldn't break this down. All of a sudden, these small companies, like a small trading company, they're breaking down to a level of detail that is somewhat ridiculous. But it's just the way their chart of accounts are set up. Mm-hmm. And so, this becomes a problem to them because they're like, well, where is my tag? And it's like, well, it's not there. You have to extend it. And these, of course, are the least able to extend. They don't. They have a two-person or one-person finance department, and now you're telling them figure out XBRL from that level, and that's the struggle. So I thought in the UK actually they've adopted a pretty much universal XBRL reporting. That was my impression, and I know in Singapore they have. And so it's the burden's there both for listed and unlisted companies already. And I think there's quite a few other jurisdictions like that.
In other jurisdictions, Thomas, is a question of priorities. And
I agree with that. There's always a question of priorities.
But it's definitely something that we have to consider for our future common practice project. But also we have to down reflect this can become too big for us as well. So more participation, I think more collaboration may be a better way forward. And these are the kinds of areas I think we have to start self-reflecting on and discuss now with our members of the board review panel how we should go forward on this. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you've got more to go.
I think I have a
comment. On Lou's comments, may I ask you on your explanation? Last night we had a discussion of Athena about this issue. You know, US FASB is its approach is a kind of a bottom-up approach, and our approach is a kind of top-down approach over this common practice, structuring this common practice taxonomy. So I'm wondering, you know, which approach is more effective in maybe for example, minimizing a kind of company extensions? And the second question is, minimizing company extensions of this common practices, is it the same as maximizing relevance of some financial information of companies?
Yeah, on the first one, and Lewis, it's good you just arrived. The IFRS taxonomy was basically, let's create all the tags based on the standards. Okay, done. Oh, now let's add to that, as a separate step, the common practice tags. And that's being done and well on its way. The U.S. GAAP taxonomy was much the opposite. It was created by saying, what's in these financial statements? Let's go through them. Oh, need a tag for this. And you captured all those things that are standards, plus you also capture all the common practice by doing that. So the two originated in completely different places. The way it's happening, they should converge such that they all include the standards. Both taxonomies include the standards and both include the common practice. But I wouldn't say that there's perfection of that. Your question is which way is better? People would say different things. I like the IFRS's way myself, where you nail all the standards and then you identify specifically any common practice tag that's added to it. I think that's more pure and perfect, but I'm sure someone could argue with that. So that's my answer to the first part. I like the way the IFRS group is doing it, as long as it keeps going and there's still more analysis to do on common practice. Your second question, I think I missed your second question.
Minimizing some company extensions on these common practices. Good for making increasing this relevance of entity-specific some kind of elements?
Is it good for reducing the extensions? Yes. I think I've seen that, especially on the first few that we did, which were the banks and insurance companies. They were the first common practice layers that the IFRS group did. Those were, I think, very significant in reducing extensions. As we go down, again, there's diminishing returns to scale, because I think with hotels and I don't know that that's going to be big and reducing extensions broad-based. I guess for hotels it will be. But.
And I think.
They also enhance comparability. So I think the other thing to balance this against is to what extent do they get so specific that you don't have the extension, but then you don't have something to compare between entities.
An extension can be good because
you did it the wrong way.
The red is confusing. an extension can be good because it does tell you there's something unique there, right? And I guess if you overproduce tags and you're, and one company uses that tag once, didn't really tell you anything different. But I think most people would lean toward let's get fewer extensions, even though there's not many using that specific tag.
I don't know why this. Yeah, and I think that we, you raise a good point as well, because there is definitely some diminishing returns there. And I think what we noticed when doing the common practice review for the last few activities, that particular, it still highlights sometimes areas that are very, I would say, I wouldn't want to say material, because all items in the financial statement should be material, but there are material with a higher threshold, like FinCERS for the media industry. We identified programming assets. If programming assets was not in our taxonomy, probably 20, they would have to create extensions for which something that may constitute 20 to 30% of their assets. So I think, having said that, I think Richard and Vladek are, may present later on as well in their presentation, that we may have to think a little bit as well of how we do this process of common practice reviews. Like when with the financial institutions, yes, we tagged each financial item on the primary financial statement and in the notes, etc. But now maybe this time it could be just that you do a quick prior review, pre-review, and see if you don't identify anything that is really items with a high material threshold on the primary financial statements, maybe you say, okay, this doesn't seem to be something important for this activity. Maybe reaching out more with industry groups will probably highlight much quicker to you as well things that could be very material. So again, it's self-reflection on different areas kind of thing.
Chairman, did that answer your questions?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, then, so this is, I think the conclusion I take away from it, that we seem the activities we are planning for the next 6 months seem to be tying in what you expect and would be good areas to focus our attention on. However, as always, we have to think a little bit more about the future as well. So what are we going to do after 6 months? I'm sure there's still plenty to do, but what are other strategic areas? Now, if you go, And we, when we self-reflected on that a little bit, we said, okay, there are three areas where I think there are still things where we can really significantly improve. However, at this moment in time, we don't have enough resources to give that priority. And I've classified these three areas in three things. This really is the organization. So taxonomy organization is taxonomy data structure. Things which can help for ease of use. And then outreach with investors and preparers. Now, and outreach with investors and preparers, we can think there, for instance, maybe give more guidance as to how to use the taxonomy, maybe talk a little bit more educational workshops, because what this analysis of the comment letters on IS7 also highlighted is that particular users are not that familiar yet with the IFRS taxonomy and with electronic reporting. So definitely some education may still be useful. But we have to plan the right timing for that. Then there are ease of use improvements. Like, could we should we give more flexible views when you look at the taxonomy? Like, at the moment, you can look at the taxonomy more from here's a whole section. My friends, if I were a user and I say, look, I'm really only interested in depreciation of depreciation of property, plant, and equipment, yeah, then rather than having to search on it, can we help them find that element quicker, maybe through flexible views, through better navigation, through better grouping of your elements? Another area where we have talked a lot about already in the department, unfortunately we have not been able to give that much attention to, is what we call the organization and the IFRS taxonomy data structure. So there's a bigger idea of more abstract and logical data model, because if you have a good logical data model, that probably is going to help with ease of use as well, because then the structure, the taxonomy will be structured so it's easy to slice and dice. But that is a bigger issue. So maybe in the short term, we can do more about taxonomy simplification. So let's have a look at the review of all our dimensions. Are there some duplications? Can we simplify and things like that? So these are the three areas we thought of, we have heard of, that some people think have some concerns, and we should maybe put some attention to in after 6-7 months. Now, the question I want to ask you today is the following, and Vladek, if we can. So many of you are using the taxonomy either by supporting regulators or by direct using it. So based on your experiences, do you think these are the three main areas where indeed you believe some further improvements to the IFRS taxonomy can be made? Or do you think we have missed our particular areas, or any comments, anything you would like to express here? Oh, you're happy about me too.
Chi, does this cover your thoughts in this area?
You said that you are...
She's off.
You...
Your focus area, one of the focus areas you are considering about taxonomy simplifications. Mm-hmm. And maybe we had it from possibly now challenging to taxonomy simplifications. And we, can we talk about that? The FSA also researching to this area. Yeah, it's a bit to if it's possible, it's maybe better to exchange such kind of discussions.
That is definitely something we can consider.
I don't think that is including this question or not, but maybe the users have a kind of the similar way to the use of the data. So I think sometimes it's better to exchange information or the use of the taxonomies, this maybe that to improving this taxonomy.
That's a good point, Chi, and I'm sure we already collaborate a lot with Lewis and his team, and I'm sure we can continue to foster, and also any other regulator like Japan, FSA, we definitely can involve in our discussions as well. Jim, based on your, because you're a user, so based on your experiences of using taxonomies in generally, is there anything you feel that comes immediately to your mind that we should put our attention to, or what are your experiences?
I mean, just in general, I like the idea of simplification, where that's practical. I mean, that you know, the more coherent and simpler the structure appears, it obviously is going to make it much easier for users to make the most of it and get their heads around it. So yeah, so I'm liking seeing that on the agenda.
Any thoughts for additional items on the agenda?
Not off the top of my head, no.
Okay, Carl.
One of the topics we mentioned at last meeting was formally retiring or no longer supporting older versions of the IFRS taxonomy, and specifically seeking out and providing support to regulators or preparers that were using them.
This is a good point, Carl, and we can also do that together with supporting regulator updates as well, and maybe at a particular time not actively supporting old taxonomies. Definitely something we can consider as well.
Would that fit in the ease of use category?
I think so. One of the points around the simplification of the taxonomy is that those very same users would say that simplification exercise is a barrier to change. Every structural change to the taxonomy causes an impact, requires maintenance, requires effort to move from one form to another, which is always the barrier to change in any field. The one overriding and sort of continual aspect of the activity like this is the ask of this group, of course, which is not the development of the taxonomy, but the testing of it in use. I guess my question back is, to what extent do you review the extent of the testing which you undertake, the instances that you go about in creating as part of your ease of use activities.
And Vladek or Andy, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you raise a really good point there of, okay, testing of and testing of the taxonomy. And I think we do some testing there, isn't it?
Actually, we are doing testing on the taxonomy itself, so we have quality assurance behind. So we have around 160 tests. We publish this taxonomy to ITCG, and obviously, as you mentioned, whenever we receive any extension taxonomies, we do testing as well. So any regulator who wants to get the feedback from us, they can send us files and we can test their taxonomies. Obviously, there's the other side of testing, which is instant documents. And when we prepare examples for IFRS taxonomy, we test. It's some kind of testing as well. And obviously, we receive other files, instance documents, and we test them as well. So there are two different testings. One is for taxonomy quality assurance, and the other one is for instance documents. Obviously, we are more focused on the IFRS taxonomy quality assurance and the extensions of taxonomies. Obviously, we are looking and monitoring the instance documents as well.
I guess from the outputs of that test, you'd expect to see illustrative signs, minor structural changes in the release of new aspects of the taxonomy, and that's something that we see. You'd expect to see changes in content to the areas of the taxonomy that you're developing, and that's something that we see. You'd perhaps also expect to see, and alluding to what Lou said earlier today, maintenance around common practice elements across the full breadth of the taxonomy that already exists. And that's something we see less of.
Thank you. Roxana, you had a question.
Yeah, it's a bit of a broad question. When you think about this process of simplification of the taxonomy, and I think it's like for the standards themselves, people are looking now to let's simplify a little bit. But are you doing that by also thinking of, I don't know, opening it up for possible future changes in the technology?
I think when we were talking immediately about taxonomy simplification, it was more like if there were some duplicates between members of dimensions and line items, we were thinking more about that. But I definitely, we need to give, and you raise a really good point, it's like how can we make the taxonomy or digital reporting more simpler by considering new technologies as well, and it's an area we should, I think, probably also include here within our slides. Yeah. Marshall, I'm still thinking.
Sorry, I think we were coming this direction here. I'm correct, Marshall.
Just in terms of focus for future areas, I think organisation and simplification are sort of the two priorities out of the three we've got listed there. I could see in terms of outreach that maybe implementation guides would be good, but I think there's so many different sort of user groups based on sort of territory and regulators. You could spend an awful lot of effort trying to target certain groups for very little reward.
Okay. I'm not certain between Lou and Macha, who was next, but.
Quick question for Vladek. I just wanted to get clear on the instance document creation work. So are those instance documents you're creating in their entirety to validate the taxonomy, or you know, what does it look like?
Normally what we do is we create instance documents and based on IFRS taxonomy. For example, whenever we have illustrated examples, we create them based on the, let's say, 2015 taxonomy. So everything is done from scratch. Does that answer your question?
I think so.
If what you're asking is, do we have a complete taxonomy instance? We don't.
Okay. But do you have several instances that would exercise taxonomy in different ways for different scenarios,
yes,
different industries, that sort of thing?
We have some that are exercised according to the examples we've got difficulty at the moment, but we don't have specific test instances created for exercising, for example, industries and so on. That's
not the testing at the moment, but we're aware of it. So there is some coverage of our instance documents, but not in all.
Yeah. Matcha.
A completely different topic for the future consideration. We have a stream in Europe for the European Banking Authority and for European Central Bank on FINRAP. We used to have the IFRS taxonomy as a basis for FINRAP taxonomies. I think this has been cut around 2010 for very good reasons. But there is an active, I mean, there are two things going on. First, the European Central Bank is starting to require from all European banks FINRAP solo from end of this year, mid of next year. Second, the EBA is undertaking the activity of introducing IFRS 9 into FINRAP. There could be an area, especially that we are talking a bit more about abstract modeling and about abstracting the pure taxonomy layer, maybe to interact with the EBA, because one, all the European banks will be on FINRAP for regulatory purposes. There is clear overlap between what IFRS 9, IFRS 7 requirements are driving and in FINRAP and in the IFRS taxonomy. There could be a point that's probably 2016 or EBA agenda that's indicating 2016, but maybe some interaction in this direction to see if some further alignment is necessary, useful, helpful. I believe at some point, especially looking with ESMA and EBA would be doing, I mean, these banks could be at some point confronted with the IFRS taxonomy, with the FINRAP taxonomy. And there seems to be a very, very clean link between these.
Thank you, Matthew.
Mm-hmm. You see that outside of an outreach area, you see it as a separate group?
I would see it more as a conceptual exercise. I mean, outreach, of course, as well. But I think, sitting with the FINRAP, there will be at some point the FINRAP task force at the ABA whatsoever, and they will be dealing with the IFRS disclosures. No, maybe spending a day with them, it's kind of worth it, not far away.
Do we envisage that some of the work that the EBA is doing might actually, influence the way the banks will end up disclosing in accordance with IFRS
7? In Europe, for sure.
And therefore, that then links into the way that we would model it.
I mean, EBA is driven by IFRS 9.
Yeah.
So that's the order. But the truth is, the EBA is putting this into tables. So then, I mean, you have taxonomies, also certain structures. So you have some overlaps. I'm not saying how these overlaps should be used or not, but I think it's useful to maybe at least talk about this. What does it mean for 20? I mean, I think it should be implemented 2017, if I remember correctly. So that's the scale.
Okay. It'd be interesting to know if any other, say, like in Australia, or if there are any other banking regulators who are sort of having those sort of discussions in terms of the reports that they're expecting from the banks, because Europe's one constituent, I think it's a good point about thinking about the way these disclosures would actually be implemented could then affect the way that we presumed they would be implemented from the disclosure requirements themselves.
These are new reg reporting, so that's not financial reporting, but still, I don't know, the same numbers working.
If we take a couple, Roxana, I think.
Yeah, just in reaction to this, I think, because we are a bit in the same situation when we look at our project, and obviously, the starting point for the banking regulators is the financial statements, so that is, there is no doubt about that, but I think we should bear in mind that the scope of their scope and what is the final output and what is interesting for a potential regulator, it's completely different from what is for the need of the user. So yes, maybe there are some synergies, and probably in the process of simplifying the IFRS taxonomy, maybe it's good to talk to prudential regulators to see whether that would not have an impact on what we are building, starting from the IFRS taxonomy. But I think there is also a good part which is quite different and serves to different purposes.
Well, what I meant is that the users, you're absolutely right. I mean, more the banks themselves, because the banks are having pretty much the same definitions. If I look at my FINRAP financial instruments table, it's probably reflected somewhat in the IFRS taxonomy in different structures. For me, it's more the banks and then looking at the definitions. But there is some overlap. I agree with you that the users, the recipients are very different and have different objectives.
Okay.
If we've got a couple more minutes, I guess, Rita, but we can we, Michael? You want to?
So just two or three observations. I would like to echo Marshall's comment earlier on the simplicity, and would like to maybe strengthen that even and expand with what I think Roxana mentioned about looking into the ways how the future technologies will operate with the IFRS taxonomy. Is actually pretty much the same way of thinking as we are right now experiencing within XBL International itself, where we are trying to see whether the standard could be abstracted and whether we could use different syntaxes to reflect the basic, so to say, functionality of the standard. I think the way of thinking here with the IFRS taxonomy possibly being worked into different streams of technologies is something that we should definitely pay attention to. The XBL is here to serve, and I think it will continue to serve for quite a few years, but looking into the ways of the future wouldn't hurt us. So this is, I think, one part of the simplification as well, and it is, as I said, consistent with the XBL international developments. And I believe that this review of element naming scheme might be something that we may want to revisit and possibly consider use of meaningless codes for the element names or for element IDs. I know it is a fairly dramatic change. However, for versioning or for change management, it is quite an important improvement. So perhaps this would be, and echoing I think Marshall's comments, I would just say that this organization and simplification is probably one of the most important focuses going forward.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Will you be quick?
Can I add our comment from my previous comment? I told you, I told in my last comment here that Japanese FSA also researching into the taxonomy simplifications. But at that time, they also have to avoid into any change of the specifications, of course, because in Japan, many people are already using XBRL. So I think that the process, how they have to do is, I think the process or thinking, way to think is maybe it's more valuable to the other IFRS taxonomies, the thinking about IFRS taxonomy, when you are thinking about, considering about the simplifications. There are many the opinion from the other countries, other purpose of the taxonomy, however, maybe this process must be same as each other's. And still, maybe Japan also cannot change its specifications.
No, I think that gives me quite a few points, so thank you very much. So I'm taking away that. Sorry. No, Patricia, please go ahead.
Well, it was mainly in relation to practical examples that are available for the utilization of the IFRS taxonomy. One of the obviously most complex areas that we've been trying to tackle is dealing with financial instruments and finding examples of how that's being utilized in other areas. So it's interesting to see that, for example, stock exchanges are starting to utilize the taxonomy now, as well as, say, for example, the HMRC with the annual reporting. But it's to have, you know, concrete examples of how, say, for example, financial instruments are properly being utilized using the IFRS taxonomy specifically, as opposed to one table for, say, for example, the HMRC. I think tying in with the ECB piece as well, looking at the FINREP solo, I'm not familiar with the taxonomy that's being used there, but the correlation potentially between the two, and maybe utilizing some exposure there in terms of trying to tie this one area down in terms of applying a correct application of the taxonomy to the financial statements, specifically for financial instruments.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much. So that gives us quite a little bit, a few ideas, quite a lot of food for thought, and we will discuss again at the next meeting how we will address these things. Now, I know that I have run out of time, I believe, but I want to stress very quickly about digital reporting and the digital reporting strategy. And the IFRS Foundation, now I think for a long time, is really recognizing the importance of technology and how it can help within the disclosure initiative, how it can help with effective communication. So we have done quite a few activities. We are now looking at how integration or not integration, how to align our due process with standard setting. We are looking more at how information is disseminated, yeah, so by using it AVRES taxonomy jurisdictional profiles. We sent to you in an email the speech that Hans Hogevors did in Korea, just again stressing the importance of technology and how we try to incorporate and integrate that within our views. However, at the last IFRS Advisory Council, the question was raised to us, is really, what is the role of technology and what are the risks and opportunities of technology and what may that mean for the relevance of IFRS and the IFRS taxonomy? Does it mean it becomes IFRS taxonomy, for instance, is it still necessary or is it not necessary anymore to effectively communicate? So these are really some very deep strategic questions that we need to consider. Now, the IFRS Foundation is doing an upcoming review of their trusted strategic review of their activities, and that review is likely, and at the moment it's just is still only likely, to include some questions as regards the role of technology and the impact that may have on this organization and on IFRS, relevance of IFRS and the IFRS taxonomies. These are not just risks. I think there are many more opportunities than there are risks. Now, ideally, I would have wanted to share with you some initial ideas on this. Yeah, I would say maybe just a short 5 minutes, John. But then I think what we will do, we'll bring it back, this topic, at a later meeting of the ITCG. If there's any immediate things that spring to your mind to say, look, think about this, like I've heard already, look, our taxonomy, we should be aware, and when we do the simplification, we should be aware of new technologies. Is there anything else that you can say for the IFRS taxonomy? Look, please be aware of it. Michael raised a few issues on unit reporting, real-time reporting. Anything else that immediately springs to mind?